it is required of stewards that one be found trustworthy.
Then the cowboy end kind of sounded like home to me. Yeah. Yeah. Especially the yee-haw. Seeing these little ones up here and praying for Miss Maya is just reminds me of when Jesus said, "Permit the little children to come unto me and forbid them not. For within them is the kingdom of heaven." And without a doubt, our children have the kingdom of heaven in them. Without a doubt. And you can't look at them and not see the kingdom of heaven. You can't look at them and not see the joy of Christ that lives in them. You've got to realize that unless we become as little children, we shall not enter therein. So we must become just as faithful as they are, just as trustworthy as they are, just as loving as they are in order to enter into that kingdom of heaven. We must do that. It is so grateful, I am so grateful to see you here today. We've got several that are back with us. Ben Gunn, good to see you. Good to see you. And Randy back over here, Linda over here. I'm so glad to see y'all back with us again. We've had several that have been out ill, and we are glad that y'all are back with us from being sick. We've got several of our visitors, or several visitors here with us today, and the Salisbury's brought somebody with them today. Dollar, that's your last name, Dollar, and so we want to meet them and get to know them a little bit. Make sure that you get to meet them before they get out of here. Make sure you get to meet all of our visitors. We got a few more visitors over here as well that I haven't quite met yet. But don't leave without talking to me, because I want to see you and I want to get to know you. We're going to talk today about being stewards. Okay? That's what we're going to talk today about. Because being a steward is very important. And how I want to start off this morning is kind of with a definition of what being a steward is. Okay? And we're going to look at Luke chapter 12, verse 42. Luke chapter 12, verse 42. And the Lord said, "Who then is the faithful and sensible steward, whom his master will put in charge of his servants to give them their rations at a proper time?" Now notice the terminology there. The master does what? Puts them in charge. Puts them in charge. And this is part about being a steward. If you are a steward, then what you have done is that somebody has put you in charge of something, and then you are to go with that and to do what you feel to be best for that situation. Now I want you to think for just 1 minute about the parable of the talents. Y'all remember that parable? One had 5 talents, one had 2 talents, and one had 1. And remember what the one with 5 did. He took the 5 and he invested it and made 5 more. So he ended up with 10. What did the one with 2 do? Same thing. Took the 2 that he had, invested those 2, and ended up with 4. But what did the one with 1 have? He buried his talent. Now, we all know the story. And we also know that that one who buried his talent was sent out away and was considered an unfaithful servant. In other words, he was an unfaithful steward. Because he was put in charge of the one thing that he had. And what does he do with it? He just buries it. Doesn't use it. Doesn't invest it. Doesn't do anything with it. And the master said the least you could do is put it in the bank and get some interest on it. That's the least you could do. And he doesn't even do that. So he was considered to be unfaithful. And he was cast out because of it. An unfaithful steward. Now realize that God has put us in charge of many things. And I'm going to talk about that here in just a minute. But I want you to realize that you yourself are in charge of many things. Many things. So let's start off and let's take a look at this. The Jewish people, the Jewish nation, were in charge of many things. Now the verse that I have up there is the verse that deals with Lazarus and the rich man. And there were, Lazarus was in a place of comfort in paradise. The rich man was in a place of torment. And of course, the rich man wanted Lazarus to go back to his brothers at home and teach them not to come to this place where he was. And of course, Father Abraham responded and said, "They have Moses, they have the prophets, let them hear them." Now here's something very interesting. I've heard this multiple times, and I find it to be true. The Jewish people had tremendous advantages over all other people of the world before Jesus Christ came. They had tremendous advantages. We oftentimes don't think about that. But you got to realize something about those Jewish people. They had the law that Moses gave them. They had the protective hand of God over them. What does he do with the Egyptian army that was chasing them? God destroyed them all. As they tried to cross the Red Sea, the Jewish people made it across. But what happened to the Egyptian army? They were destroyed. They were drowned. God protected them. Alexander the Great said that he would not invade Judea because, quote unquote, he feared their God. Now, this is interesting. He feared their God. Now, we got to realize that not only did they have the law, which Moses gave them, but they had God's protective hand over them, and they had all the prophets, all the teachers of the Old Testament. They were all out of Jerusalem. They were all out of the Jewish people. These men who are prophets, who spoke about the coming of Jesus Christ, who spoke about what God wanted them to do, they were there with them the entire time. And God was long-suffering with these people because they would reject God. And yet, God always took them back. Every time they sought to come back to God, God took them back. Now remember that statement here in just a minute. God took them back. Now, the other thing that the Jews had over everybody else was that they were the first ones to hear about the saving grace of God through Jesus Christ. The Word came to them first. They were given every opportunity. Every opportunity. They had every advantage. But, as we just finished studying in Matthew chapter 24, what happened was that Jerusalem was destroyed because they rejected Christ. They rejected God. Even though they had every opportunity, even though they were given every advantage that could possibly be given to anybody, they still rejected God. They still rejected Christ. Now, not all of them. Because remember, I told you about the writings of Josephus, how Josephus says that those who followed the Nazarene, those who followed Christ, none of them perished. Because they heard His words, and they obeyed His words, and they did what God had told them to do, what Christ had told them to do. That when they saw this coming, run, flee, head for the hills. And they were saved because they followed the word of Christ. Realize that. But still to this day, there are people who reject God, who reject Jesus Christ, even though they've had every advantage in the world to get His word, to respond to Him, to be baptized into the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. All those things have been given to us, and yet there are still those who reject. It's there. It's available. And I'll tell you this, which I found very interesting in my studies along the way and courses that I took along the way. That I was told one time by this scholar in biblical knowledge, and he said there is more evidence today, right now, than there has ever been in the history of mankind that, number one, God is the Creator, that, number two, Jesus Christ is indeed the Son of God, and number three, that the Bible is indeed the Word of God. There's more evidence that proves that every day, right now, than has ever been in the history of mankind. And yet, we still reject. Can't do that, folks. And the reason why you can't do it is because you have been given every opportunity. Every opportunity. The Jews were given every opportunity. They were placed in charge of the Word. They were placed in charge of the Ark. They were placed in charge of the temple. They were placed in charge of doing the will of God. But yet, they still reject. We today are placed in charge. And yet, there are people who still reject. Now, our elders here at this congregation, whom, by the way, I'm just going to say this, I love dearly. Randy, I'm glad you're back. Yep. I told somebody the other day, you know, Randy's back has been out, and he hadn't been able to be here for quite a while. And I told somebody the other day, I said, well, tell him that if he'll just lay on the ground, I'll walk on him and he'll forget about that back. You would be in traction then. Yeah. But boy, we're glad you're back with us. You know, Rick's been out. Rick's been sick. And he's back right yonder. It's so good to see you back. It's so good for you to be back with us. Our elders are wonderful people. Now, I'm not going to say they get everything right. You didn't have to agree quite that loud. I'm not going to say they get everything right, but what I am going to say is this, that they've got the right mind and the right heart, and they want to do what God wants them to do. Folks, that's what we want. That's what I want in an eldership. That's exactly what I want. And folks, they are put in charge. They must be good stewards of what goes on here. How things will run, what we do, the fact that we have our food pantry and we give out so much to so many, the fact that we have all of our ministries that we have going on right now and what we are doing, the fact that we have teachers and preachers, all these things, they are overseen to make sure that you, that each one of you receive God's word and that you do what God wants you to do. I want you to know that elders are held up higher than you are, because God expects more out of them. The same thing with teachers and preachers. God expects me to preach the Word of God. You ever think about that? I think about it all the time. Because that's one thing that I personally strive to do more than any other thing, is to make sure that what I am teaching you is God's Word, it's not man's Word. That's what I strive to do. And I've told you before, and I've told you this before, and you've heard me say it, that if I'm giving my opinion, I will tell you this is my opinion. This is what I think. That doesn't mean it's wrong. It doesn't mean it's right. But what it means is it's my opinion. But when it's God's Word, it's not my opinion. It's God's Word. And so it befalls upon me as a preacher, it befalls upon all of our teachers out there to make sure that God's Word is taught. We're starting a good study on Daniel tonight. I hope you'll come and be a part of that. 6 o'clock. Be a part of that. It's going to be a good study. It's one in which all of us need to pay attention to. And folks, the more we learn, I want you to know this, the more we want to learn. I've run into that numerous times. The more I study, the more I want to study. The more I figure things out, the more I want to figure out. I want these things. And of course, I've told you this too, that there are things that I've read 100 times and then I read it that 101st time and I go, oh, that's what that meant. And I may have read it over 1,000 times and never come to that conclusion. But that one time, you sit back and you say, oh, I never looked at it that way before. And that's one of the reasons why I love our Bible classes. I absolutely love them. Because I get a lot of feedback when I give a Bible class. And there's a lot of times, folks, and y'all know this, there's a lot of times that you'll say stuff to me, and you'll say, have you ever thought about it this way? And there's times I say, nope, never thought of it this way. Never thought of it that way. So it helps me to think of things in a different light. Those are good things. All of them. But we as teachers and preachers also, just like the elders, are held to a higher accountability to make sure that we are teaching the Word of God. And that's why I ask you, if I teach something that's contrary to what you've heard or what you know, come and ask me about it. Come and talk to me about it. Because I want to make sure that what I'm teaching you is correct. Is God's Word. And if it's not God's Word, then it's man's Word. And there's a major difference in the two. So, help me to help you by doing that. Also, look at this. You didn't think for one second I was going to leave you all out of the loop, did you? Christians are in charge. Notice what I've got up there. Very common verse. Most of us know this. You are the light of the world. That comes more and more apparent to me the more I see people who show nothing but darkness. I gave you the example of the lady behind the counter over here at Casey's that one morning that I went in there, and this guy comes in and he's right before me, he's right in front of me, and he starts griping about something, and I'm not sure exactly what he's griping about, but then he ends up cussing the lady behind the counter and everything, and she just sits there and takes it. And then he walks off. And then I started talking to her about it and gave her a kind word. And I told her that her day will be better from this point on. And she thanked me. Folks, you are the light of the world. You are the one that gives light unto the world. You are the one whose Christ lives in you and shines through you so that others may see it and respond to it. You are that light. Allow that to be so. Because, as it says right there, a city that's on a hill cannot be hidden. Guess what? You can't be hidden either. People are going to see you. They're going to respond to you. And depending upon how you respond to them, it's either going to be light or it's going to be darkness. Now, here's what we need to focus on. Each one of us has been given gifts. Remember I talked about the great gifts that the Jews had? I talked about what they had. They had the prophets. They had the law. They had the ark. They had the temple. They had God's protective hand. And they had the word before anybody else did. Look at all the things that the Jews had. Well, folks, I want you to know something. They don't have anything. The Jews didn't have anything that we don't have. You have the Word. You have the temple because you are the temple. You have God living inside of you because the Spirit lives in us. You are that person. You have those gifts. And so the question that I have here for you is this. You've got all these gifts. They have been given to you, What kind of steward are you? Are you using the things that God has given? Are you using the gifts that God has given you? And I want you to know that not all of us can be preachers. And if all of us were preachers, I wouldn't have a job. I want you to know that not all of us can be teachers. There's something you can do. And you know what that talent is. You know what it is. If you don't think you have any talents at all, if you don't think you have any abilities at all, and I've told you this before, pray. Because by praying, you are calling upon the Creator of the universe. You're calling upon the power that created all things, including yourself. You have a responsibility. And I've told you this story before as well about my mother when she was 94 years old. She says, I don't know why God keeps me around. I said, I do. She said, but I can't do anything. I said, Mom, you can pray. If you don't feel like you can do anything, then lift up your voice in prayer. Because God is there. God hears and God responds. Folks, every one of us have gifts that we are given. Every one of us. Some are teachers, some are preachers, some are song leaders, some are prayer leaders. Some are people who reach out to other people and help them with their physical needs, whatever those needs may be. You have a gift. Use it. Use it. And when Jesus comes back, notice this statement. Blessed is that slave whom his master finds so doing when he comes. Whose master finds him or her doing with the gifts that you have been given, doing God's will. Every one of us have those gifts. Every one of us have those abilities. And you should be found doing what God wants you to do with the gifts that you are given. Don't think somebody else can do it. You do it. You do it. You know those signs you go through the National Forest, those signs up there, Smokey the Bear? What does it say? Only you can prevent forest fires. Well, guess what? Only you can do what God has asked you to do. Go out and do it. You have the gift. You have the talent. All the things that we have in this world, we should use for one purpose, and that's to serve God. Notice this verse that I have up here in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2. In this case, moreover, it is required of stewards that one be found trustworthy. You have been given gifts. Are you trustworthy with what you've been given? Are you the one with 5 talents? Are you the one with 2 talents? Are you the one with only 1? Even the one with 1 talent could have used his 1 talent. But because he didn't, he was not a good steward. Folks, we as Christians are stewards of what God has given us. God has given us the Word. God has given us salvation through His Son. God has given us protection. God has given us talents that we can use to spread His gospel. For it is God's plan that all people should be saved, that none should perish. So it is our job as stewards of God to go out into the world and preach that gospel to every creature. That he who believes and is baptized shall be saved, and he who does not believe will be condemned. Are you that steward? Use what God has given you. Reach out and do His will. If you have a need this morning, a need for baptism or a need for our prayers, we want to give you the opportunity to come. Well, together we stand.